Well, you guys have given an awful lot of feedback so far. We are midway through a series that we're calling Didn't See It Coming. And I just want to thank you. Thanks for the emails. Thanks for the conversations. Thanks for all the feedback. This is something that I think God is really using to drill down on the core of what life is really all about. That's sort of our goal in this series. It's all about things that we never really saw coming in our lives, but here we are, and how did we get here, and how do we move through it? And so my deepest hope for you is that in this series, you either meet God for the first time through Jesus Christ, or that you grow deeper in your faith. And I know it'll be a mix of that in all of our campuses for those of you watching online, but we're really glad that you're part of the conversation. So if you're just jumping in, here's where we've been. We're talking about five different issues that people simply didn't see coming. And so here are the five issues that we're working through on five different weekends. We kicked off with cynicism. A lot of you are like, whoa, I'm way more cynical than I thought. You can go back, listen to part one for that. Last week, we talked about disconnection. So I hope that you slowed down this week. I hope that you disconnected. You had a chance to really build into relationships. That I hope that was helpful for you. That was part two. We're talking about pride, emptiness, and burnout through the series. And today, we're going to look at pride. And pride's a really interesting one because I think a lot of us think, oh yeah, pride's an issue for narcissists, right? Like if you're a narcissist, that's it, but I'm not really a narcissist. So I thought, why don't we just start here? We'll do a narcissism test. You ever wonder like, am I a narcissist? Am I really narcissistic? So we'll be able to tell in the next 60 seconds, okay? So here's our little simple narcissism test. Step one, take a moment to think about yourself. Step two, if you made it to step two, you are not a narcissist. Okay. Takes a moment to really figure out. But anyway. So that's it, right? Narcissists are people who are completely self-absorbed. It is all about them all the time. They're always thinking about themselves. They are the only person that matters. It's really somebody who's really selfish and has a super high opinion of themselves. So you're going, okay, Carrie, thank you so much. I'm probably not a narcissist. I'm clear, right? I'll just go home, come back next week. We'll talk about something else. Well, true or false? If I'm not a narcissist, I don't have an issue with pride. False. Bingo. You guys are good students, right? The answer is false. It's false. Pride is not just a narcissism issue. Pride's a lot deeper than that. And as I thought through that, and I think we all have narcissistic moments and we all have really selfish moments. And I mean, I don't think social media has made that any easier where we all try to present the perfectly scrubbed version of our lives for the world to see. But pride isn't just a narcissism issue. And as I work through this material, both in my own life spiritually as somebody who's taught the scriptures for decades, and as I got ready to write the book, Didn't See It Coming, I thought, well, what is pride in and of itself? And so I came up with this definition, that pride is really an obsession with self. That's what pride is. It's just if you're obsessed with yourself, then you're probably a proud person. And the other thing about pride you need to know is that pride is incredibly easy to spot in other people, okay? So you're probably thinking, oh my goodness, I wish my husband came to this series, or I wish my wife was here, or I wish my sister was here, or my best friend was here, or I wish my neighbor was here, or I wish my oldest daughter was here. Whatever you're thinking, you're like, oh, they need to hear this. It is so easy to spot pride in other people. It's like greed, right? Nobody ever says, hey, I'm greedy. Everyone's like, oh, my cousin, he's so greedy, or my boss is so greedy, or my neighbor is so greedy. But nobody thinks they're greedy because you have all these reasons. It's like, I'm just trying to be a good steward. I'm just trying to be frugal. I'm just trying to look out for myself because who else looks out for myself, right? So pride is really easy to spot in other people, and that's what I don't want you to do in this message. And that's really hard even for me, all right? It's hard for me because people come to mind and you're like, oh, they need to hear this. And if you want to share this message, that's always fun. Hey, I think you're proud. Watch this, right? You can try that if you want. Lose all your friends in the next 7 days. But it's difficult to do. But for you, I want you to think about you. I want you to think about, okay, well, how does pride show up in my life? Because it's a pretty broad definition. Like if pride is an obsession with self, how does that actually show up in my life? So I want to walk through three terms fairly quickly to get us into the heart of what pride is. So there's pride, right? Which is a big term. It can be positive. It can be negative. You can be proud of your kids. You can be proud of your work. You can be proud of your family. You can be proud of whatever you happen to be doing. Proud of the house you built. Proud of, you know, there's that, but then there's pride, like, you know, you're a little bit, you're strutting your stuff, there's pride. Now, what the Bible talks about, Bible has an awful lot to say about pride. If you read through all the different parts of Scripture, you'll see pride shows up again and again. And the antidote to pride, surprise, surprise, because we talked about hope and curiosity being the antidote to cynicism, unplugging and slowing down being the antidote to disconnection. But pride has an antidote, and the antidote is humility. Humility. And the Bible talks an awful lot about humility. Jesus talks a lot about humility. He talks a lot about pride. Pride is almost never a good thing when you read through the Scriptures. But humility is a great thing. And I think most of us, even if you're not a Christian, and if you're not, we're glad you're here, we're glad you're watching, you would be like, yeah, I prefer humble people over proud people. If we did a little poll here, I'm sure we get 100% of people agreeing, I prefer the humble over the proud. So you got pride, you've got humility, and surprise, surprise, the goal is for you to become more humble. Yeah, yeah, you already knew that, right? But then you have this other term. And when I really started developing this material, I started thinking about this term, and I thought, you know, there's a connection between these. There's another word that makes us all pretty uncomfortable, and I want to share it with you. The word is humiliation. Humiliation. You ever really been, like, humiliated? Think about how often that happens, right? I mean, if you get humiliated, humiliation is like public embarrassment. It's a scandal. And I want you to think about the things that you would find humiliating in your life. Like, you know, you leave dinner and you've got spinach stuck in your teeth and you didn't find out about it until 3 hours after. That's a little bit humiliating, that kind of stuff. But what is really humiliating in your life? Like, for example, would that be humiliating to you? Probably. I thought, what is the most humiliating thing I can do on stage and still have a job the next week? And I thought, this is pretty close to like complete public humiliation. And right now what's probably happening is some of you are embarrassed for me, right? You're embarrassed for me because this is public humiliation. Now the spinach in your teeth doesn't seem so bad, does it, last night? But we all have things that humiliate us. And this, I would say, is really humiliating. I thought about this. I thought, you know what? Someone's going to take a screenshot and they're going to post it on their social. And, you know, that's not a good way to go viral. But this is embarrassing, isn't it? It's humiliating. It's embarrassing. What embarrasses you? Because you know what humiliation is? And as I thought through this, I thought, because I've been humiliated in my life, you know what humiliation is? Humiliation is involuntary humility. That's what humiliation is. It's involuntary. You didn't want to be humbled, but you were humbled. And so what happens when something like this happens is there is a gap between where you thought you were in the social order, the image you had of yourself, and then suddenly an event happened. Oh my goodness, look at this. It's so embarrassing. And all of a sudden you're here. So you thought you were up here, and now humiliation is, oh no, 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 you're there. You get laughed at in the middle of a meeting. You thought you were up here. All of a sudden, you're down there. You thought you did an awesome job on the project, and everyone else is like, actually, it's terrible. You thought you were up here. You're down here. You know what that is? That's pride. And humiliation is involuntary humility. That's why when you show up in the meeting, you got a stain on your shirt that you didn't realize until after. You're embarrassed. You're humiliated. You thought you were up here. The rest of the room saw you as here. That's what it is. And everybody has a different issue. For some of you, it's like, oh, whenever I go out of the house without lipstick, you know, that's so embarrassing. I've been living for decades without lipstick. It's not embarrassing to me at all. I never even think about it. But if you scratch my car or you put a dent in my car, you know, my car is your lipstick, okay? So that is my issue. It's like, well, I'm not going to drive around with a dent in my car. I'm up here. The dent puts me down there. You with makeup, you with lipstick, you with, oh, that embarrassing photo, please take that off the internet. You're up here, They're down here. You said this thing. You thought it was awesome. They thought it was awful. You thought you were getting the promotion. Instead, you got fired when you got called. You were up here. They're down there. And that's how humiliation works. And what humiliation is involuntary humility. Am I somewhat embarrassed? Yes, I thought about this for weeks. But I had to bring myself down to this level. And now it's like, yeah. See, and that's the thing about humility. When you put yourself up on a pedestal, you can always get knocked down, but you can't fall off the floor. And if you keep yourself on the floor, you can't really get knocked off. You know, Jesus would teach on this. We're not going to look at this particular teaching, but he said things like, hey, when you get invited to a dinner, don't sit at the seat of honor. Sit at the low place. And then if somebody, you know, somebody comes along, the host says, hey, what are you doing down there? Come and sit right next to the host. And you've maybe done that, right? If you're getting together, it's always awkward when you have 8 seats at a table and there's 7 people. Where do you sit? Do you try to sit in the middle so you can control the conversation? Or are you happy to be the person who sits at the end with nobody across from them because it's an odd number at an even number table? And it's like, I'm just going to sit here. And then if you get left there for the rest of the night, that's okay because you actually chose to sit there. You put yourself in that place. But the host might come along and say, hey, Carrie, I want you to sit over here. I want you to engage in the conversation. Now, if you take that seat of honor and the host kicks you out and all of a sudden you're at the end of the table by yourself, what are you going to do? You're going to stew all night long because the host put you in a place where you thought you didn't belong. You know what that is? That's pride. That's pride. That's when someone takes a picture of you that you're embarrassed of. I don't look good in that. Like, well, that's how you looked in the moment. Pride or humility, or humiliation, I should say, is involuntary humility. Now, the challenge is to keep yourself in the right spot, to have a sober view of yourself. And here's the big idea for today, because some of us have built lives like you're maybe a little more owned by this as I am owned by this, because of course I get embarrassed. Of course I get humiliated, and I've just had to remind myself of the last few years. And think about this, this is a universal rule. Every time you're embarrassed, every time you're humiliated, that's pride. Pride is like, I didn't mean to slip and fall, but I slipped and fell. Now I'm embarrassed, I'm humiliated. You know what that was? That was pride. Because you had a view of yourself that was up here, and you actually showed up down here. I thought I was due for the promotion. You had a view for yourself up here. Your boss thought differently. I thought we had the best house. You know, why are we now? We're still stuck in the starter house, and other people are moving up to their custom homes, and you have a view of yourself up here. Your reality is down here. Humiliation is involuntary humility. And this is the thing with pride. Only humility will get you out of what pride got you into. So you got yourself in a place where all of a sudden your bank account's feeling all this stress because you don't have the money to live up to the lifestyle that you think you should have. The only way you get out of that is through humility to say, you know what? We are going to act our wage. We are going to act our ability. We're going to live under our means so that we can maybe one day have some margin. That's what we're going to do. Pride is not going to get you out of that. Pride is going to make you buy clothes you can't afford. Pride is going to make you buy more house than in your budget. It will make you buy more car than you can afford. That's what pride will do. And only humility, having an accurate view of who you actually are, will get you out of what pride got you into. Even think about something like so many people are so defensive today. And don't tell me that. And there's a reason, and I can explain, and no, that wasn't my fault. Do you know it takes humility to say, I was wrong. Yes, I blew that. Yes, I actually said those words. And that was sinful. I'm sorry. Do you know how much better your relationship would be if you behaved that way? Do you know how much better it would be at work? Because work is about, well, I didn't do that. That wasn't my department. Humility goes, yeah, you know what? I knew about it and I didn't do anything. Yes, we could have done a better job. You know what? I was late. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's inexcusable. There's no reason for it. See how much better it gets? But that takes humility. That's like, yeah, okay, I tried to pretend that everything was together. It's not together. Everyone knows it's not together. So you have to be the person who comes out and goes, this is what I look like. You're right. Only humility will get you out of what pride got you into. Now, there's a surprise along the way, and the surprise is this, that pride dwells deeply in the hearts of insecure people. Because some of you are like, I'm not proud, Carrie. I'm really insecure. If you want to look at my life, okay, I'm not proud. I'm really insecure. I never feel like I measure up. I'm never sure I belong in the room. I always feel like other people are better than me. I'm nervous about how I really am. You're not making me feel better about myself. You're making me feel worse about myself. Okay, great. Well, let's go there. Why does pride dwell in the hearts of insecure people? I'll tell you why. Because pride is an obsession with self. And guess what? Insecure people are obsessed with themselves. Insecure people, all you think about is you. And you think about how bad you are and how you don't measure up and how other people might be better and, oh, am I good looking enough? And am I this enough? And am I that enough? Pride is an obsession with self. That's why pride is one of the deadliest sins. It's not a worse sin than the others, but it's the root of so much else. It's the root of greed. It's the root of vanity. It's the root of you building yourself up and tearing other people down. It's at the heart of so much of what you struggle with every single day. And it's what Jesus came to defeat. And pride is just an obsession with self. So how do you know you're an insecure person? Here are five signs you're insecure. Number one, you compare yourself to others. You don't have an actual self-worth rooted in who you are in Jesus. You have a self-worth that's entirely based relativistically on how you do with everyone else. So how are you stacking up to all the other people that you started with at work? How do you stack up compared to the neighbors? How do you stack up compared to your family? How do you stack up compared to other people that you respect and admire? And you either feel better than, the same as, or worse than. It's like, well, she's more attractive than I am, so I can't be around her. It's like, well, he's way more successful than I am, so like I don't feel very good about myself. Or you get yourself around other people and you're like, yeah, I'm a little smarter, I'm a little better, I'm a little more developed, I'm a little more polished, I'm a little more fit, I'm a little stronger, I'm a little brighter. And you just spend your whole life comparing yourself to other people. Now, some of that's natural. I don't know whether you can get rid of the instinct, but it's not helpful for anybody. And it's a sign of insecurity. The insecure person bases their value on how they are stacking up around other people. Am I better than, same as, worse than? So you compare yourself to others. Number two, your self-worth is determined by your latest results. Guys, I think this is a particular problem for us, right? If you're at work, and how's your performance? How many sales did you land? Did you blow the deal? Did you get the deal? How did that go? What's your rating? You know, sometimes a lot of us get rated publicly these days. What's your rating? Or what was your last quarter? Or how big is your bank account? Or how small is your bank account? So your last quarter's results, woo, we're moving up and to the right. I feel good about myself. Oh, we're plateaued. I feel bad about myself. Uh-oh, we're in decline. I feel terrible. Your self-worth is determined by your latest results. And that doesn't have to be performance at work. It can be, look, I lost 20 pounds. Or I gained 20 pounds. Or I feel a lot better than I did 5 years ago. You know, it's that your self-worth is tied to something other than Christ, other than God. It's not actually determined by anything real. It's determined by things that are fleeting. So that's a problem. Number three, and I've struggled with all of these, you can't celebrate someone else's success. See, a truly insecure person can't be around people who are better than them, in their mind, for long. And so you're like, somebody else got married, and you're like, well, I can't be happy because I'm not getting married. Somebody else is having kids. You're like, well, I can't be happy for them. I can't be happy for them because we can't have kids. Somebody else got a promotion, and you're like, well, I haven't had a promotion in years. Somebody else got a raise. You're like, how come I'm not getting a raise? And so they're in the room and they're like, hey, we did really well. Hey, we're having a vacation. And you're like, I can't afford a vacation. You can't even be happy about their vacation. That's insecurity. How about this? You squeeze, this is where this goes, gifted, talented, amazing people out of your life because you don't want to be around them. They make you feel bad about yourself. So you're like, yep, she's too good looking, he's too fit, he's too successful, she's too this, and so we're not going to hang out with those people anymore. I'm going to go around people who make me feel better about myself, not by the way they treat me, but just because they're not up here and I'm down here. You see, that's insecurity. It's so ugly when you really get it out. And again, this is something my pride, I mean, we all have narcissistic moments, comes way more out of insecurity, and that's the journey I've had to wrestle down over the last couple of decades. And this is what's at stake. You'll just move all the smart people out of the room because you want to be the smart person in the room. And then there's this, you want some say in everything. Insecure people tend to be controlling people. Because you don't really trust anyone else to make a good decision. And so, you know, you're like, hey, I want to be able to control my universe. So I'm just gonna, I want a say in that. So those are signs you're insecure. You're starting to recognize yourself. And where does that go? I want to show you how ugly it is before we talk about how it gets better. Because when you really realize, like, listen, and the world runs on pride. And that's why the world is so messed up. That's why work's so messed up. That's why your friendship circles are so messed up. That's why church gets so messed up, because we're not exempt from this in the church. But here's what pride makes you. Pride makes you a few things. Number one, it makes you feel superior. I could have easily said that inferior too, right? Because if you're insecure, it's like, I just don't measure up. But eventually you'll find some people that you're like, well, I'm better than them. I'm healthier than them. I'm fitter than them. I'm this than them. And so you make yourself feel better. I'm a better designer. I'm a better this. I'm a better that. I drive a better car. So it makes you feel superior. It makes you feel judgmental because you're judging everything. You can't just accept. You have to judge. Pride will also make you unaccountable because if you're really proud, you don't want to sit under anyone else's leadership. Because it's like, I'm unaccountable. And pride will make you isolated. And as we saw last week, solitude's a gift from God, but isolation is a tool of the enemy. And so you gotta ask yourself, if you're unwilling to wrestle down your pride, do I want to end up superior, judgmental, unaccountable, and isolated? Because if we saw those qualities in other people, we would say, time out, that's a really bad way to live. Do not go there. But we're willing to settle for them in our own lives. So what do you do? Well, only humility will get you out of what pride got you into. So humility is the antidote. And Jesus, I think, would put it this way, because he put it this way over and over again in his teachings. It's kind of your choice. You will either be humiliated or you will humble yourself. And again, if you start to look at Jesus' teachings, read through one of the Gospels or all four of the Gospels, you start to look at Jesus' teachings through the lens of pride and humility, and all of a sudden they will pop off the page to you, and you'll be like, oh, that's why he was talking about it so much, because he says, right, that the proud will be humbled and the humbled will be exalted. He says that over and over and over again. And the reality is, in your life and mine, if we're struggling with pride and we have pride in our hearts, what happens is that we end up being humiliated. Because we put ourselves here and someone else put us there. Because we put ourselves here and our circumstances or our lack of ability put us here. And Jesus is just saying, just have a more sober view of yourself. Just voluntarily humble yourself. Now, we're going to get to the scripture. We're going to get to that next. Yes, we are going to look at the Bible today. And this is a powerful passage, but you would have missed it if I didn't set it up this way. And the Apostle Paul planted lots of churches in the decades after Jesus' death and resurrection. And Christians 2,000 years ago were struggling with this message as deeply as you and I are struggling with this message, because they're like, nobody's taught this before. Like, nobody in the world teaches this. The economy doesn't run on this. The culture doesn't run on this. In fact, it's the opposite. And that's why it's so toxic. And that's why it's so dysfunctional. But like, what does this actually mean? Because when you try to run your family on pride, it has all kinds of problems. When you try to run your life on pride, all kinds of problems. When you try to base your self-esteem on pride, all kinds of problems. And they're like, well, we don't know another way. And he's like, I'm gonna show you the way. So this is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8 from the New Living Translation. And if you just need three words of scripture this week, we'll look at a lot more. Have a look at this. He says this. He says, don't be selfish. I stopped it right there because that's about all I need. You know what I am? I'm selfish. I wake up in the morning, who am I thinking about? Me. You know what you are, if I can say so? You're probably selfish because you've only been you your entire life. And so what do you think about? You think about yourself. And I think about myself all the time. And I realize that the principal impediment in my marriage, the principal impediment in my leadership, the principal impediment in my relationships is that I'm selfish. And Paul says, don't be. Can all go home now? No, I'm kidding. Isn't that convicting? Just don't be selfish. It's like, well, give me more. Like, help me understand. And then he says, don't try to impress others. How much time do you spend trying to impress other people? How much time do you spend trying to look a certain way, be a certain way, sound a certain way? And this hasn't made it any easier, right? This hasn't made it any easier. Try to impress others. It's like, I gotta look thinner than I am. And I know if I go this high, I'll always look thinner than I really am. And so you try to get that perfect shot, right? Don't try to impress other people. Be humble. Be humble. What does that mean? Fortunately for us, Paul explains it. He says, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Now that's not, oh, I don't measure up, I'm not. That's like, I'm just gonna put myself here. I'm gonna have that view of myself. And I'm gonna think that you have something to offer. And you're like, well, clearly, I mean, there are some people who are better than me. No, get yourself out of that space and just start thinking, what do I have to learn from other people? You may be in the C-suite. You may be the manager. You may be the leader. You may be the founder. You may be the CEO. What do you have to learn from the intern? What do you have to learn from the client? You know, the wisest CEOs, the widest senior leaders, they're always the people who are learning from customers, clients, interns. The best people are like, I can learn from anyone. And I'm gonna see myself in a place of service rather than of being served. And I'm gonna think of other people fundamentally as just better than I am. And sure, maybe I'm okay at communication. Maybe I've got a really great touch with decor. Maybe I'm great at sales. But I'm gonna think of other people as better than me. And don't look out only for your own interest, because that's what you're gonna do naturally. You're always obsessed with you. But take an interest in others too. So it's, of course, you have to think about yourself. You're you. But move beyond that. But think bigger. But get beyond yourself, get over yourself, and start taking an interest in other people. And then he really lays down the gauntlet when he says, okay, that's enough. But then he says, no, there's more. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And Jesus is our Savior. If you're a Christian, that's what he is. He's your Lord. If you're not a Christian, Jesus is the center of our faith. And I want you to put your trust in him and your life in him. And when you do, you should become more like him. And you will become, that's what the whole Christian journey is about. It's dying to self. See how that makes sense now? It's dying to yourself and your selfish tendencies and living for Christ. He forgives your sins, but that is just the beginning of the journey. And if you haven't committed your life to Christ, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to do that today because I think it's the only thing that makes sense of life. It saves you in eternity. It forgives your sins. It gives you a whole new start in life. That though Jesus was God, we believe he was God. So think about Jesus in heaven. People are like, Jesus was created, right? No. Jesus is co-eternal with the Father. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So before there was anything, there was Jesus, there was God, there was the Holy Spirit. He did, even though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. So think about it. He had it made. He was in heaven. But he didn't think of equality with God. He actually had the status. He actually had the power. He actually had the influence. He could do anything. And he says, no. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. This is Christmas when Jesus was born, his life, Easter when he died and rose again, and was born as a human being. He became dust. He became you and me. And that meant he had all the limitations that you and I have. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. See, he didn't lift himself up. He humbled himself, voluntary humility, in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. That is such a loaded sentence. Because you're probably already thinking through, well, what does it mean to have a more sober view of me? What does it mean to look beyond myself? What does that mean in my family? Listen, Jesus lived a perfect life. And he never did anything that would put him in like violation of the law. But the religious leaders of his day convinced the Roman government to crucify him because they hated him so much. Envy, jealousy, division, discord, they hated him so much. And an innocent man died. So even by Roman standards, he was innocent. They were just, we gotta get these religious leaders off our hands. They're causing a problem. Okay, we'll kill the guy that they say we should kill. So they killed him. And Jesus, you know, when he was tried, a mock trial, he didn't like, oh no, you don't understand. I was flawless. I was perfect. He didn't defend himself. He just stood there. He didn't say a word. And he went to the cross. And he hung there. And he died. Humbly. Why? Because he knew that that act would mean you would know God and your sins would be forgiven and you would have a new lease on life. And he put your interest ahead of his. Only humility will get you out of what pride got you into. So what does that look like? For years, I thought humble was an attitude, you know, that oh, I just gotta be more humble. I love C.S. Lewis's definition of humility. I've shared it with you many times before. I don't have it on the screens today, but I just wanna say it because it bears repeating that humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. God did create something good in you. Just don't dwell on it. Just don't dwell on it. Humble, fortunately for us, is a habit. And what I've learned is, because this has been a journey for me as well, it's a journey for all of us, is that you may not have the attitudes of the humble, but if you actually just adopt the habits of the humble, good things will happen in your life. So I want to share with you just some habits, and in your small group materials, all these are recorded. I hope you'll pick one to do this week in your small group, or if you're watching online, you can get the resources there. And I hope you'll just pick one or two, or I try to adopt all of these, and you know, because we've been working on this for a while. But and if you're part of Kinexus, you'll recognize some of these because these are baked into our cultural values here at Kinexus, because we want this to be true of who we are. So habit number one, never lose your gratitude. We live in an era of entitlement. I'm entitled to more. I'm entitled to a better car, entitled to a better job, entitled to a raise, entitled to a family. I'm entitled to a house of my own. I'm entitled to... No, you're not. Why are the most privileged people who ever lived in all of human history the most entitled people who ever lived in all of human history? That's just the weirdest thing. And you know what the antidote to entitlement is? Gratitude. It's like because I get entitled, and then it's like, wow, I have a roof over my head. I have some meals in my stomach. I have people who love me. I have a God who never gives up on me. Just never lose your gratitude. No matter what happens, just never lose your gratitude. Just be grateful. Some of you are into gratitude journaling. That is a great thing. Just write down every day what you're grateful for. Because you know what I do? I focus on what I don't have, not what I do have. And if you start to focus on what you do have, you will become more grateful, and that will make you more humble over time. Second value, take the low place. This is actually one of our values at Kinexus. If you look at our value statement, cultural values, it says, take the low place. Where does that come from? Straight out of Jesus' teachings. So when we built our broadcast campus here a few years ago, I was still the lead pastor at that time. One of the decisions we made is no reserved parking for staff, especially for the lead pastor, AKA me. Because, you know, how many times have new guests showed up at a church and it's like all reserved parking for staff or the lead pastor or whatever? We don't really have a parking issue here, but it's like no reserved parking. We'll just take the low place. So on Sundays, a lot of our staff and myself, I park a parking lot over so that you, the guest, will have place. Now, I just talked about it and that just erased all of the humility associated with that. So much for that one. No reward in heaven. But anyway. So take the low place. Like, what can you do? Jesus put it this way, that he came not to be served, but to serve. So if you're a boss, what can you do? If you're a manager, if you're a supervisor, what can you do? Take the low place. What can you do to serve? Why don't you ask your team, what can I do to help? That's a great question. Why don't you ask your spouse, what can I do to serve? Why don't you ask your kids, and you got to be careful with this, what can I do to help? What can I do to serve? It's like, well, in that case, Dad, everything. No, that's not where we're going. Take the low place. Servant leadership is the best leadership. And I don't always get it right, but you gotta try. Number three, open your notebook. The best leaders, the best people know that they can learn from anybody. And so, you know, don't walk into a situation where you think, I've got nothing to learn. If you're dealing with toddlers, just remember Jesus' teaching who said, hey, unless you become like one of these, it's like, oh, now I'm gonna learn from some toddlers, some babies. What do they know that I don't know? You can learn from anybody. You can learn from anything. How about this one? Push other people into the spotlight. All right, if you're insecure, you're gonna hog the spotlight to yourself. So I'm the teaching pastor these days, founding pastor. I only teach 30, 35 times a year. Our backup preacher is a guy named Andy Stanley. We made that decision over a decade ago, and I'll tell you, that was a journey out of my insecurity for me because Andy's one of the most renowned communicators in the world. And that meant when we decided to become a strategic partner and he would be one of the other principal teachers at our church, that every time I wasn't teaching, one of the best communicators on planet Earth was teaching and that I had to follow him every single series. That wasn't easy at the beginning. Many times I just had to swallow hard, and it's like, okay, here we go. It's just me today. But if you push other people into the spotlight, you push other leaders into the spotlight, you let other people lead, it's amazing what God will do. Humble people eventually usually get surrounded by giants because they don't have to be in the spotlight. But your insecurity will make you want to be the feature person in your story. Don't push other people into the spotlight. And then finally, get ridiculously honest with yourself and with God. Say, you know what? I am proud. You can have conversations like this. I see it's almost dry. It's embarrassing. That humiliated me. Why? Why? Why am I so embarrassed? Why am I so easily offended? Why am I always, see, every time you're offended, there was a gap. Someone else put you here, and maybe unjustly, but you were up here. That's pride. And just have those conversations. Here's what I'm doing these days, free bonus tip. I'm pre-confessing my sins because I realized this past summer that I wake up every day and I think I'm gonna have a great day. Are you like that? And then by, you know, breakfast or lunch, I've stumbled into a whole hornet's nest or whatever. I've been selfish and I have to apologize to my wife or somebody. And so now I'm pre-confessing my sins and I go over the day with God and I said, oh, this is probably where I'm gonna mess up. So help me with that. It helps. Just get really honest with yourself, really honest with God. That's what humble people do. And if you adopt the habits of the humble, your pride will start to die because only humility will get you out of what pride got you into. Let's pray. Father, this is convicting, it's challenging, it's hard, but it's good. I need this. I am a proud person. Sometimes narcissistic, sometimes it's just insecurity. But whatever it is, it's an obsession with self. Forgive me. Forgive us. May humility enter our families. May it enter our workplaces. May it enter our neighborhood, our friendships, our relationships. And may we be reminded of how you lived, dying a criminal's death on the cross. And Father, if there's someone here listening or in the room, one of the rooms, that has never surrendered their life to you, and today is the time to do it, I just pray for them. And if that's you, would you just pray very quietly with me in your heart? Lord Jesus, today I realize I got to get over myself and I'm done with myself and I surrender my life to you and I ask that you would be the Lord and the leader of my life. Please forgive my sins and please come into my life. Today, I'm deciding to follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.